Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on this wonderful Wednesday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on March 11th. Coming up in today's episode, a Medway MP is out to tackle graffiti.
It's an antisocial behaviour issue, but it also, what it does is it impacts everybody because it makes the whole community and the area look really terrible.
The Ramsgate widow who's had to battle for payment for work her late husband carried out.
Why did he put me through 6 months of absolute hell chasing money that he knew that he owed?
And the Gillingham boss says last night's performance against MK Dons just wasn't good enough.
Bad defending, bad decisions, naivety.
Stay listening for all of that. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. There's backlash over plans to build 725 new homes in a Kent village with a scheme described as beyond comprehension. The planning application is for a mixed-use neighbourhood on land north of Kamer Road in Mepham. Lucy's been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. She's got the details for us. Lucy, first of all, can you give us some more information about the proposals?
Yes, well, the application has been submitted by the McManus family who live in Mepham. The scheme looks to build up to 725 high-quality homes. 50% of those would be classed as affordable and targeted at first home buyers and downsizers. As you say, the development is proposed for land north of Kamer Road and has been divided into five areas to be known as Nursted View, Norwood Place, Norwood Gardens, Skylark Fields and Kamer Gate. As well as the housing, there are also plans for a two-form entry primary school, a corner shop and sports centre. Also included is a 22-hectare public open space with ponds, wetlands and an extension to Kamer Park. In terms of roads, new access from Kamer Road with a three-arm roundabout will be created and part of Norwood Lane will be changed to a bus and emergency service route.
It sounds like it's going to be a huge development. Can you tell me about some of the objections and why people have such a problem with it?
Well, there's a local campaign group called Green Not Greed, and they say the village just won't be able to support an influx of new residents. They're concerned with so many houses, there's potential for 2,000 extra people, which would double the population of the village. In particular, they're concerned about the GP surgeries in Mepham and Eisted Rise, which they say are already at capacity. The risk of flooding is another issue, as is the impact of increased traffic on the busy A227 and the loss of greenbelt space.
Have the developers responded to any of these concerns?
The McManuses believe the proposals will contribute to the significant unmet housing and affordable housing needs locally. They've also claimed that it will provide a host of other public benefits and infrastructure improvements for the community if approved. Looking at health provision, the applicants say payments will be made to healthcare, education and local services to help mitigate any potential pressures. It's also worth noting the submitted design and access statement said the area is not in a designated flood risk zone. It goes on to say the 44.3 hectare site is considered to be greybelt land.
Thanks, Luce. You can keep up to date with the progress of this application and view others for the area by heading to the homepage of Kent Online. Now, there's been another big development story for Kent with this news coming in overnight. Controversial plans to build 2,500 homes in Faversham have been given the go-ahead. The development on the southeast edge of the town is supported by Prince William's Duchy of Cornwall estate. It was approved following a four-hour council meeting last night. Local Democracy reporter Dan Essin spoke to us straight after the meeting.
So tonight, after almost 4 hours of debate, Swaleborough Council has approved a massive development by the Duchy of Cornwall, which is run by Prince William, and it's for 2,500 homes on the southeast edge of Faversham. These plans have been floating around for quite a long time, ever since the land was sort of first mooted for housing back in 2018, but this specific application has only been in the works for about 2 years. Tonight, the Swaleborough Council's Planning Committee voted to give full permission to about 260 of the homes and then outline permission for the rest, which, as well as the 2,200 or so homes remaining, it includes sports facilities, shops, schools, all that kind of thing, but all the kind of infrastructure you imagine in a sort of significant expansion to a town. Needless to say, this whole project's been very controversial the whole time it's been in the works. It sparked quite a lot of opposition and campaign groups opposed to it. And tonight's meeting is the kind of meeting where usually you would expect, you know, protesters to be turning up. It was actually, despite being very long, it was quite quiet. There were objectors from parish councils. And even the Member of Parliament, Helen Whateley, wrote a letter to the council, which was circulated before the meeting, saying that this basically is far too much development for this little corner of Kent. And saying that it would have, you know, sort of undue impact on the roads and water infrastructure in the area, and that the area's really taken too much housing, that sort of thing. But nonetheless, Wellborough Council voted to approve it tonight. There was an amendment added, which meant that all of the developer funding for services like education and so on should be spent specifically in Faversham. But yeah, they voted to approve it with 11 votes in favour, 5 against and no abstentions.
Sarah Moakes is a parish councillor for Boughton. She told us how she feels about the decision.
Disappointed but not remotely surprised, because we always thought this was a done deal, partly because of the identity of the applicant. I mean, is Swell really going to refuse the heir to the throne and his pet project? But it was particularly disappointing, I think, that it couldn't go through the local plan process, because people in Faversham have no idea of what's about to hit them. This is because it's not only the Duchy development, which is 2,500 houses, but another equally large development on the other side of the road. So there's going to be housing all the way to the Thanet Way, and, you know, the identity of the area is going to be transformed beyond recognition.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A child's been taken to hospital after being hit by a vehicle outside a school in Ramsgate. Emergency crews were called to Newington Community Primary on Princess Margaret Avenue at around 3:30 yesterday afternoon. The child was checked over by paramedics before being taken for further treatment. A Dover man who was caught on film attacking his ex-partner's new boyfriend has avoided being sent to prison. Andrew Bull was awaiting sentencing for breaches of a non-molestation order preventing him from seeing the mother of his child when he stormed into a home in January. The 33-year-old from Harold Street was handed a suspended sentence and ordered to pay more than £900. A licensed firearms holder has avoided prison after using his shotgun to shoot at his neighbour's CCTV cameras near Faversham. James Gavin targeted the recording equipment twice on a property in Selling during an ongoing dispute. The 50-year-old from Grove Road received a 12-month suspended sentence and was ordered to do rehab and 180 hours of unpaid work. He must also pay more than £3,000. His firearms licence has been surrendered.
Kent Online News.
An investigation's underway following reports of a collision between a train and a car at a level crossing in Sandwich. There was a huge emergency response in Ash Road yesterday. Power had to be switched off, but the line later reopened. A misconduct panel has found a former Kent police officer made unacceptable remarks about racial issues just 2 weeks after joining the force. Owen Mills made the comments while undergoing initial training at the Kent Police College in Maidstone. He was also accused of being sexually inappropriate with another officer. The panel agreed he would have been dismissed immediately were he still serving, and that he should be added to the barred list. Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show there's been a sharp rise in the number of people needing support from food charities since the pandemic. The Trussell Trust, which runs food banks across the county, distributed more than 36,000 parcels last year. That's up from 27,000 in 2019. It's an increase of 34%. Trussell are calling for the government to put better support systems in place for people struggling with the cost of essentials.
Kent Online News.
Campaigners are hopeful two towers of unfinished luxury flats in Folkestone could soon be completed. There's been little progress on the former Lees Pavilion site in the last 2 years, and residents say the scheme has become an eyesore. Developers say they're currently trying to secure finances so the project can move forward. Liz Mulqueen is from Friends of the Lees Pavilion.
There have been complications and those have caused the delay. We're all just hoping, really hoping, that things will move very soon. I just don't want to give up hope on it. None of us do. There are times over the last couple of years where we sort of think, has it all gone? But no, we have to remain hopeful, and we have to kind of stay active over it. It's less than half finished. It's just depressing looking at the moment. Then you see those the lift shafts there, and, you know, the hoarding around it, and just nothing happening. No, it is really depressing. So the sooner everything can move, and the sooner they can get this finance sorted and get work started again. I mean, they have lined Antiappi up as the contractors again. So really, as soon as they get some money and can pay off the bridging loan to the company that put it up for sale with Savills 6 months ago or so, as soon as that's all done and they can get work started, then we'll all be happy, and I think most of Folkestone will be happy. But we are still there, and we are still monitoring what is happening, keeping an eye on it, and keeping in touch with the developer.
Plans for 760 homes in a village in Medway will be discussed by local bosses today. The application for the land in High Halstow have been recommended for approval and will go before the planning committee. If approved, the development would cover 100 acres between Christmas Lane, Charnel Street and Britannia Road. A student accommodation building in Medway could be turned into a 63-bed HMO as fewer people are moving out to attend university. Bosses at Student Court on Jeffrey Street in Gillingham say it's increasingly difficult to fill rooms and have applied to council to have the use of the building changed. The plans are being considered by planning officers. More than 50 homes are going to be built on a former car park in Sittingbourne for families in need of housing. The council say the properties in Cockleshell Walk will be classed as social rented homes, meaning they're cheaper than similar privately rented ones. The local authority has been given £6.4 million from Homes England to carry out the project.
Kent Online News.
One of Medway's MPs has told us graffiti in her constituency is making the area look uncared for and unloved. Nishaba Khan's reported an increase in tags on walls in Gillingham and has started a campaign to clean it up. She's urging other residents to send evidence to the council so they can take action. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
I think I want to be really clear that I don't actually dislike graffiti. I think there is a space for it in our communities, and there are times when I've seen some brilliant graffiti and I think that looks great and people have done it really tastefully. But actually what I have got a problem with is what I'm seeing across my town centre in Gillingham, and I know others have referenced this as well, is where you see essentially people going around putting up tags, graffiti that's not been done in the right way. Now, it's an antisocial behaviour issue, but it also, what it does is it impacts everybody because it makes the whole community and the area look really terrible. And I think that's the piece that I want us to address, because it's that sense of you're walking around and you think nobody cares about this place because it's covered in horrible tagging or bits of graffiti that just look awful, swear words, as well as, pictures of things that you just don't want to see. And it's really sort of dragging down what our community looks and feels like.
And you mentioned about seeing it in the town centre. Just how widespread is it? Are you seeing it around every corner? How big a problem is it?
So certainly I've noticed an increase actually in recent months, which is part of the reason why I wanted to do the video, because obviously graffiti has always existed. You've always seen a bit of it around the place. But what I've noticed in recent months is that there's been an increase, certainly in Gillingham. And I have seen it, obviously the town centre is the very obvious space where you see it and where people are out and about. But actually, if you walk around Gillingham and other parts, you'll see it in lots of spaces, on roads, on road signs. And this is the really frustrating bit. Sometimes it's on the side of people's houses and on private property, which is so unfair. It also makes it a lot trickier for the council to clear it up, because they have to go through special permissions in order to be able to kind of get rid of that. So it feels to me that it's getting worse, which is part of the reason why I want to address this and I want us to tackle it. And I want people in Gillingham particularly, because that's the part of my constituency where I've noticed it the most, although I appreciate it in other areas as well, to feel that people do care about this and that this is a community that we're not going to just accept it and carry on.
So what can be done to tackle it? I might imagine it's a tricky thing to sort of police, because it quite often happens at nighttime in the dark in sort of out of the way places sometimes. What can be done to reduce it?
So it is a tricky issue to try and tackle for all the reasons that you've just highlighted. But one of the things that I did find out when I spoke to the council about it is that there is a huge amount of underreporting. So there are only, within a particular area in the town centre, there were only 11 instances of graffiti being reported to the council compared to what you would actually see if you walk outside and you walk around. And I myself was able to count far more than 11 instances of quite bad graffiti. So I think one of the first things to do is to start to ensure that we can really get a grip of the problem and how widespread it is and just how often it's happening and where it's happening. And the only way to really do that is through the reporting. Now, I recognise why people might be a bit, they might think it's not worth their time to complain because they think that nothing will get done. But I want to assure them that please do report it because it's those reports that we need to look at to get a sense of the scale of the problem. That's why I did a video encouraging people to do that. That's why I myself have been reporting instances of graffiti, and I'd ask that others do the same. That will give us a sense of exactly the scale. Then I think it's about looking at options. So certainly I would like to look at options around cleaning it up. Of course, that does cost money, and some of it is on private property. So we just need to have a little think about how that works and making sure we have the correct permissions, but it's something we absolutely need to explore. Secondly, we maybe do need to look at opportunities where there are certain areas where perhaps they could benefit from a mural or a piece of artwork that we can design with the local community, with young people, that looks nice, that is engaging, that brings them in, but isn't the awful tagging that you might see that makes the area feel run down and just tired. The other p the part of that is that we can also identify the areas where it is a real problem, and perhaps there we can work closely with the police to see what is possible. It's not always going to be possible to stop this happening, I recognise that, but certainly what we need to do is send out the message that people do care about this and it's not okay. And if you do this, then there are consequences. And I think that's the piece that I really want to get across. So the reporting is key to this.
A Bulgarian restaurant in Maidstone has been given a 0-star hygiene rating after inspectors found moldy produce and illegal meat. Council's environmental health team also found greasy cookers and mice droppings in a food prep area of Mexaha in Lower Stone Street. There'll be a follow-up visit in 2 weeks and again in 3 months to make sure bosses are complying with legal requirements. The man who oversaw a major building project in North Kent has been appointed by Reform UK as their housing and infrastructure spokesman. Simon Dudley was chair of the Fleet Development Corporation. As part of his new role, he'll lead a review into Britain's house building, setting out reforms to planning and national infrastructure. Now, a Ramsgate woman has won a battle against a businessman in Whitstable after he refused to pay for work carried out by her late husband. Raymond Anker died while overseeing the renovation of a property. His widow, Joanne, was forced to find £15,000 of their own money to pay contractors. She successfully argued it was breach of contract and was awarded over £9,000. Joanne spoke to the Kent Online podcast.
My husband was midway through a contract renovating a project for Michael Elson, the client, and it was quite a big job. It was Old Tar Cottage in Whitstable. My husband unexpectedly died, and the client decided then not to pay my husband's final invoice, which at a time of grief is shocking. I was forced to go down a route which, you know, no grieving wife or family should ever have to go down. We went to adjudication to get the money that was owed to us, and it was quite clearly a breach of contract. But we were forced, while I was trying to hold my family together, because my children had just lost their dad, and I just lost my husband of 27 years. But during that, we had to go to adjudication, and we won. The adjudicator found a clear breach of contract, and the awful thing was that the client paid the money within 24 hours. So he had the money, he knew that he owed it. Why didn't he just do the decent thing? And why did he put me through 6 months of absolute hell chasing money that he knew that he owed?
Kent Online News.
Parcel delivery company DPD has opened a new regional distribution centre in Sittingbourne. Bosses say it'll significantly increase capacity to meet local demand. Existing teams will be moving into the site at Panattoni Park, with 80 new jobs also being created across the southeast by October. Young carers in Kent are being offered help with CV writing and interview skills during new sessions, which start today. Crossroads Care have launched an employability program for 15 to 25-year-olds who look after a loved one. It's hoped it'll build their confidence about getting a job. A pop-up swimming pool is going to be used to help teach children in Folkestone to swim. It's based in a heated tent at Martello Primary and will be used by pupils at three schools run by the Turner Schools Trust. As part of the national curriculum, the aim is to have youngsters swimming 25 metres by the end of their time in primary. We're being asked what we think about plans to reduce waiting times and improve support for disabled children in Kent to have short breaks. The County Council's consulting on a five-year strategy to enable parents and carers to get essential respite. In the past, demand for services has often exceeded availability. And it's been confirmed, an iconic property within the grounds of Chatham's historic dockyard will reopen this summer following a major restoration. The Commissioner's House dates back to the 1700s and is the oldest surviving naval residence in the UK. The gardens were used in Bridgerton and the building will be available for events and weddings from June.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have been beaten 5-1 at home to promotion-chasing MK Dons. They conceded three goals in the first 18 minutes of last night's match at Priestfield. Gill's manager Gareth Ainsworth says their performance just wasn't good enough.
Not good enough. Again, you know, obviously we've been beat 5-1, but just moments, Phil, of bad defending, bad decisions, naivety. You know, there's the ball going under people's feet and losing control of the ball. These are fundamentals as a professional footballer. You've got to be able to do, you know, and they do them when there's no pressure, but a bit of pressure, and some of the boys didn't really handle it well tonight, you know. But listen, I have an extremely big injury list at the moment. You look through it and you the names that are in that treatment room, they start for me. They're the ones who've been starting at the start of the season. They were the ones who were doing it. It's crazy how we're losing players at the moment. You know, I'm hopeful that Ethan Coleman's isn't too bad tonight, because I can't do with any more injuries. You know, I'm putting a youth team player on for his league debut. It's hard to take. But the ones who come in, they've got to step up. They've got to stand up for themselves and be good enough. But I know what I have to do here. And it will be done. But we've got to get through to the end of the season, you know. But when you're missing your players like Beckles and Gale and Masterson and Little, Dak, McKenzie, Antwi, McCleary, you know, Josh Andrews suspended, that's a whole team there, really, that you could say would start a game. That actual list of players, you know. And when you're best players are not available, teams do struggle, and we certainly struggled tonight.
They're currently 16th in the League 2 table. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.